We're continuing today the series that we began a couple of months ago called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God, and it comes from Paul's writing to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Now, if you read in the early part of Colossians 3, Paul is saying this. He's saying, you Colossians, as Christ followers, you are to avoid sin. And in Colossians 3:5, he lists some of the sins that they're to avoid. Sexual immorality, avoid impurity, avoid lust, evil desires, avoid greed, which is idolatry. And then in verse 12, he goes on to say, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. He talks about love, peace. And tonight we're going to be talking about the ninth piece of spiritual clothing that Paul lists in Colossians 3:15 this afternoon. Now think about it. On a really hot summer's day, as a physical analogy here, on a really hot summer's day, it's important to clothe yourself correctly, right? As I was talking about earlier. It's good to put on some light-colored clothing. It's good to put on some lightweight clothing so your body can breathe. It's good to put on some sunblock lotion, right? Clothe yourself with sunblock so your skin doesn't burn. Right? It's good to put a hat on so your head remains safe, physically safe. On a really cold, freezing winter's day, it's also good to clothe yourselves correctly, right? If it's really cold out there, stingingly cold, it's good to put on a heavy jacket, right? To keep away the flu. To keep away a cold and so forth. To keep away other sicknesses. Well, guys, guess what? A major part of your existence is your spirit. And it's important to clothe your spirit with the spiritual virtues that Paul the Apostle lists in Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Why is it important to clothe yourselves with these virtues spiritually? So that you would grow in your relationship with God. So that you would grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. So that your spirit on the inside would be strengthened. And so today we're talking about the spiritual virtue called thankfulness in Colossians 3, verse 15. If you have a Bible, let's read it together. If not, I'll read it to you from the NIV. Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Just a brief review of last week. Last week we talked about the spiritual virtue called peace that he talks about in the first part of Colossians 3:15. What is peace? Peace is harmony. Remember, at one time we were separated from God by our sin. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we were brought back into harmony with God, right? We have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, entered your life, what did he bring to you? When he sat upon the throne of your heart, he brought inner peace that surpasses any human understanding. And that peace that Jesus brings on the inside should overflow into your relationships with other human beings, right? Because guess what, guys? In life, there will be opportunities for you to fight with other people, to get into strife with other human beings. But as followers of Christ, we're to clothe ourselves with what? With peace, with harmony. When you're about to get upset with somebody, when you're about to quarrel with somebody, when you're about to fight with somebody, ask yourself this question. WWCD, what would Christ do? If you want something really bad that somebody else has, think to yourself, what would Christ do? You know what Christ would do? He would set self aside to maintain the peace. So set yourself aside and say, you know what? I really want that thing, but I'm going to let this other person have it. Somebody does something to get you really upset and you feel that they owe you an apology. What do you do to maintain the peace? To maintain harmony with them? Ask yourself, what would Christ do? WWCD. Jesus Christ would forgive. he would release that person of the debt. So if somebody you feel owes you an apology, just release them of the apology you feel that they owe you in order to maintain the peace. Does that make sense? Well, in Colossians 3, verse 15, in the second part, he says, and be thankful. So this ninth piece of the clothing of God is thankfulness. Now, let me ask you this. What is thankfulness? What is thankfulness? Think about it. Thankfulness is gratefulness. It is a deep appreciation. It is an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Now, say someone purchases for you an automobile. It may not be a brand new automobile, but it's a good running automobile. And they say, this is a gift for you. Just for you. They purchase it for you on your birthday. And they say, we've paid all the gas and all the insurance for 1 year. To that person on the inside, you'd be what? You would be appreciative and thankful, right? Because now you're able to give your legs a rest from walking from location to location. Now you'd be able to drive. Does that make sense? So someone does something good for you, and the way you respond is with an attitude of what? Of gratitude. An attitude of thankfulness, deep appreciation. Now, who are to be the thankful ones? Who are to be the thankful ones? Every single follower of Jesus Christ should live in a daily attitude of thankfulness. You know, the Bible is full of scriptures on thankfulness. Let's turn to Psalm 69, verse 30. Psalm 69, 30. This is what the psalmist writes. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95 is another one. And he writes this. Verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. He's thanking God for God's greatness, right? Let's look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verses 4 through 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. He's thanking God in this psalm because God is a good God. God is the author of good. He is a faithful God. He is a God who does not quit on you. And for those reasons, you as well can be thankful to God. Amen? Look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147 says this. Verses 7 through 9. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. He's thanking God because God is a God who provides rain on the earth. Right? So that the crops can grow. So the question here today is this. When are we to give God thanks? The big question. When are you and I to give God thanks? Daily and in all situations. In all situations, we are to give God thanks. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul the Apostle writes this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. What are some of the things that we can give God thanks for? His many blessings upon our lives. For instance, you can thank God for the new breath He gave you today. You can thank God that you've got health in your body. You can thank God that your legs work and that you're able to walk around. You can thank God that He has given you a mind that you can think with. There's so many blessings that we can thank God for. You know, There's so many things that I thank God for His provisions in my life. He has provided for me in so many ways. Financially, He's given me a business, and a business which is doing well, so that I could be provided for financially. God is blessed. He's a good God, and I thank you, God. I can thank God personally for friends that He's given me. Remember, no man is an island unto himself. And when I'm down, there's somebody there for me who can talk with me, who I can confide in. When I'm up and excited, there's somebody there to rejoice with me. So I thank God for good friends in my life. You know, back in 96, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again tonight, this afternoon. Back in 96, November of 96, it was a Sunday evening, and it was snowing out. There was ice on the ground. And I was living in Broken Arrow with my parents at the time, and I wanted to go to church that Sunday night. I really wanted to go. I was a faithful church attender. And my mom said to me, she said, "Jonathan, I don't think it's a good idea for you to go to church tonight. The roads are slick." So I disobeyed. I was probably like 22 years old, and I went to church. Well, on the way back from church at about 101st in Delaware, the road was real slick. And I was driving just a little too fast. And I noticed that my car, my pickup truck that I still have today, started to kind of slip and slide. So I got nervous. And I did a foolish thing. I hit the brake. My car spun and landed on the other side of the road. Guess where? On the passenger side, upside down. And I was suspended in midair with a seatbelt on me. Thank God. I thank God that He gave me enough sense to wear a seatbelt. You know, without that seatbelt, I might not have been here today with you guys. Kind of cranked down the window, took my seatbelt off, and walked out safe and sound, not a scratch on my body. I thank God in November of 96 for saving my life. For the next couple of minutes, I want you to think to yourself of some of the things that you are thankful to God about. What are you thankful to God about? Think about it. Think for the next couple of minutes. What are you thankful to God about? Anybody here want to give a one-word answer, a two-word answer real quick? Anybody? What are you thankful to God about?
My children are healthy and prosperous.
Her children are healthy and prosperous. Anybody else? What are you thankful to God about? Thankfulness is a spiritual virtue, friend, that you need to clothe yourself with. Anybody else here thankful about something? Anybody else? One more answer.
I'm thankful we got grace to get up every morning and keep going.
Grace to get up every morning and keep going. That's awesome. All right. Anybody else? That's great. You know what? Think about this. It's really easy to give God thanks when things are going well, right? When you're having those mountaintop experiences, when the finances are flowing, when you're thinking clearly, you know, when your emotions are full of peace and joy, when your body is healthy, it's easy in those times to give God thanks. Do you agree? Those are called mountaintop experiences. But it's not as easy to give God thanks when you're going through what? A valley experience. It's not as easy to give God thanks when you're going through a tough time, through a hard time, through a challenging time in your life. Maybe a loss. Maybe the finances have dried up. Maybe you've lost that job. Maybe you've lost that mode of transportation. It's tough in those times to give God thanks. But you know what the key is, friends? The key is this. Giving God thanks in the valley times, the hard times, is the key that unlocks the door to your deliverance. Giving God thanks in the hard times is the key that unlocks the door to God's miracle in your life. It happened for Jonah. How many know of the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament? How many know of Jonah and what he went through? Now, Jonah was a prophet of God. And God said to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach to that nation to repent from their evil ways." Jonah didn't want to go because Nineveh was an enemy of his nation, of Israel. So Jonah disobeyed. He went the opposite way towards Tarshish. So basically, Jonah found himself in a boat. And a storm came about. The boat began to rock back and forth. And through a series of events, everybody agreed that the storm was a result of Jonah's disobedience to God. So what did they do to Jonah? They threw him overboard. And when he was thrown overboard, guess what? God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. He was having a belly of the whale experience. It was tough, friends. Could you imagine being stuck in the belly of a whale, of a great fish, for 3 days? Hot in there, humid, full of seaweed. Stinks like crazy. He must have been sweating like crazy. He was in deep despair in the belly of the whale because he disobeyed God. Right? And you know what, friend? Today you may be having a belly of the whale experience in your life. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in the belly of a whale. Somehow. Addicted to something. Some type of problem in your life. Maybe as a result of your own disobedience to God, or maybe as just a result of life happening. But let's look at Jonah chapter 2 if you have a Bible with you. Jonah chapter 2. He talks about his difficult experience. And this is what he says. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God." So how many of us here agree that Jonah was basically describing his despair, his tough time in the belly of the whale, right? It was tough. He said, seaweed was wrapped around my head. Then he says in verse 8, "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Here's the key, verse 9. Jonah 2:9, "But I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you." In other words, I will offer to you, God, a song of thanksgiving. "What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." So in the midst of Jonah's hardship, in the midst of his hard time, in the midst of his belly of the whale experience, what did he do in verse 9 of Jonah 2? He sang a song of thanksgiving to God. And what did God do? As a result of his song of thanksgiving, look at verse 10. "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." God delivered Jonah. Jonah singing praises to God, thanksgiving to God in the midst of his hard time was the key that unlocked the door to his deliverance. And remember, friend, God is no respecter of persons. If he did it for Jonah, he can do it for you. In the midst of your hard time, start singing thanksgiving songs to God. Sing songs to God. How many here believe on the inside that God is able to rescue you? He's able to deliver you from the hardship in your life. You believe it on the inside, right? What does the Word of God say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who diligently seek him. So you believe on the inside that God can rescue you, right? Guess what? You've got to put some action to your believing. What action are we talking about this afternoon? The action we're talking about is words of thanksgiving. You believe it on the inside. I believe that Jonah believed deep down that God could deliver him from the belly of the whale. And he put action to his belief. He sang songs of thanksgiving to God. And immediately, God commanded the fish and it spit Jonah out onto dry land. Friends, it's got to be the same with us. Start singing praises to God in the midst of your hardship, and God will command the fish in your life to spit you onto dry land. God wants to deliver your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If he did it for Jonah, he can do it for you. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, just for a brief moment. 2 Corinthians 4, talking about believing and speaking. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak. How many here believe that God has got a miracle in store for them? If you believe it, speak it with words of thanksgiving. Say, God, I thank you that you have provided for me financially even now. Even though I don't see the manifestation of it, God, right now, God, I thank you that you have already provided for me financially. God, even though I don't see the manifestation of it right now, God, I thank you that you have brought healing to my sick body. And as you believe on the inside and speak these words of thanksgiving with your mouth, guess what? God is going to do the miracle in your life. Believing and acting. What kind of acting are we talking about tonight? What kind of action to your faith are we talking about tonight? Speaking words of thanksgiving to God in the midst of your hardship. Does that make sense? Is that making sense? Paul and Silas, friend, were in a tough situation. How many know about Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16? Paul and Silas. I'll read it to you. Acts 16, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God." She was mocking them. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, what did they do? They took Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews who are throwing our city into an uproar." Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Verse 23, after they were severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. They were having what kind of experience, Paul and Silas? A jailhouse experience. Late at night. It must have been hot there. Their feet, their legs were shackled. They were imprisoned in this jail. And friends, you may be going through a jailhouse experience today. You may feel like you're imprisoned. Maybe it's by fear. Maybe you're imprisoned by anxiety or worry. But in the midst of their jailhouse experience, what did they do? Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. What were Paul and Silas doing at midnight in jail? Think about it. In the midst of their valley experience, in the midst of their tough time, what were they doing? They were singing praises to God. They were singing songs of thanksgiving to God. And as a result, the prison doors were thrown open and they were set free. Friends, remember, your thankfulness to God is the key that will unlock the door to God's deliverance for your life. Your thankfulness to God in the midst of your hard time is the key that unlocks the door to God's miracle in your life. When you go through a hard time, don't complain. God, I wish I weren't here. God, I wish my body wasn't sick right now. God, I can't believe that such and such happened to me, that you did this to me. And remember, don't blame God for anything bad, because he's the author of good. Instead of that kind of attitude, what kind of attitude towards God are we to have? An attitude of gratitude and gratefulness. God, I thank you that you have already healed my sick body before I even see the manifestation. God, I thank you that you have provided me with a new job even before I see the manifestation of it. We believe, therefore we speak. Speak what? Speak thanksgiving to God. Man, I'm so miserable on the inside. I'm full of fear and worry. Instead of that, say, God, I thank you that fear has left me and your joy and your peace is on the inside of me. And guess what, friends? With that kind of attitude, your miracle is right around the corner. Living in a daily attitude of thankfulness to Almighty God. Now, how do we give God thanks? Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. How do we give God thanks? Real simple. Anybody? Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. One of the easiest ways to thank God is how? Is how? Is with your words, with your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? It speaks, right? And finally, in verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. What is a way of doing good to others? Think about it. What is one way of doing good to others? Yeah. Helping them, that's good. Okay, anybody else?
Accepting them in their situation.
Accepting them. Anybody else? What is a way of doing good to others? So simple. Thanking them when they do good to you. After all, in Colossians 3:15, Paul talks about thankfulness in the context of what? It's in the same verse of the spiritual virtue of peace. He's talking about peace in Colossians 3:15, and then he says, and be thankful. Friends, think about this. If somebody does you a favor, if somebody helps you out, don't take it for granted. Don't have the kind of attitude, well, you know, I just deserved it. You know what? That might get the person upset that gave you a hand. Instead of taking it for granted, instead of having the attitude of, I just deserved it, what kind of attitude should you have? When somebody does you a favor, when they help you out, when they lend you a helping hand, just say, thank you. I deeply appreciate you buying me lunch. Thank you. I deeply appreciate you talking with me. Thank you. I deeply appreciate you studying the Word of God with me. When somebody does something good for you, the way to do good back to them is by just simply thanking them with your mouth, with your words. I think, you know, in Colossians 3:15, Paul is talking about harmony and peace. And then he says, and be thankful. You know, one of the surest ways to come out of harmony with somebody and to get into strife is when they do something good for you, you just walk away with your nose up in the air. I deserved it. That may make them upset, right? But maybe one of the surest ways to keep peace with them is to just have an attitude of gratitude towards the person who has helped you out. Now listen to this. One final comment here. A life lived in thanksgiving to God continually should overflow into thankfulness in relationship to other human beings. Does that make sense? A life lived in thanksgiving to God on a continual basis should overflow out of your life in words of thanks to other human beings. Man, and when you're thankful toward other people who have helped you out and you express your thanks, then they're appreciative and you've got peace and harmony in that relationship. What did Jesus say? He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. So as you thank God through the good times and the bad times, guess what? That'll overflow into thanking others who are in your life helping you out. Let's not take other people for granted. Let's not have the attitude that I just deserved it. Let's thank people. Let's be deeply appreciative. Let's express our gratefulness to others. Make sense? All right.